We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
What is up, bros? Welcome to the All Bros Podcast. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we are a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Ooh, I kind of got the order bit mixed up. Anyway, this week on the podcast, we will be playing a couple rounds of some of our favorite game. Either our head-to-head and reel-to-reel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be playing a couple rounds of that. Yeah, I'm sure you guys are curious where we've been the past while. We were dealing with holiday sadness.
Yeah, you know, because people that say seasonal depression isn't a thing, y'all are lying to yourselves.
Yeah,
100% is a thing, and it sucks ass.
Yep.
So,
also first holiday season without both of our dads.
Yeah,
it sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we are back. We are. This is the first episode we've recorded of 2026. So happy new year, everyone.
Yeah, happy new year.
Even though you'll be seeing this, what day, on the 12th? So it'll be a couple weeks into January already.
That's okay.
Yeah. But we needed the break. We would not have been on our A game without it.
No, uh-uh. But
we are hoping to be back on top of it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, I almost forgot. For those of you that don't know, by the title of this episode, we are going to be breaking down F1. Is it F1 the movie?
I think so. Which I don't understand. What else is called F1?
Nothing. I don't think.
Like, if I just put F1 into Google, what's gonna pop up?
I mean, but you have to specify F1 movie.
Oh, I get okay. If I put in just F1, it comes up with Formula One, the official home. Yeah, so F1, the official home of Formula One racing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so I guess okay. So yeah, it's so I guess like the original F1 is it's your go-to source for the latest news, video highlights, GP results, live timing, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary on F1 news. We're just on anything F1. So
okay. Alrighty.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be breaking down F1 the movie this week. But first let's get into the episode, shall we?
Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Max Performance Peptides.
Save 10% on your first order using the code ALLBROS.
It helps support the show and helps support our friends, so go give their site a look at maxperformancepeptides.com.
Or check them out at maxperformance4u on Instagram. Links to everything can be found in our bio.
All right, kicking off this week, we're going to be playing a few rounds of each of these games. see who wins this one, because I think last time you beat me, I think, yeah, or
I can't remember. Man, dude, that was so last year. Come on.
It was last year. But new week, new game. So we are going to be playing. We're going to start things off with reel to reel, which for those of you that don't know the rules of this, we will be given a randomly generated actor and a movie that they have starred in. Our job is to go back and forth and list someone that was also in that movie, like an actor, and like another movie that actor has been in.
Yes.
So, for example, if we are given like Emily Blunt in Edge of Tomorrow, we could tie this into Tom Cruise in Top Gun. And then we just kind of go back and forth with that. So let's have you go first, Rose. Your movie is, or your actor and movie is, have you seen Darkest Hour?
No, I have not.
Okay, let's refresh that. Okay, easy. Christian Bale, The Dark Knight.
Ooh, okay, yeah. That...
So the goal is to throw the other one off as best as you can.
Okay. Morgan Freeman. Bruce Almighty.
Okay. I know the easy one is Jim Carrey. I'm going to throw you a curveball and go Jennifer Aniston. Just go with it. Have you not seen that one?
I don't think I have. I'm trying to remember. Adam Sandler isn't in that, is he?
Yeah.
He is?
Oh, okay. I was debating on helping you, but yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, thank you for the help. All right, because you helped me, I'm gonna throw you an easy one. Adam Sandler, Grown Ups.
Okay. Kevin James, Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Ooh. I can never remember the actress's name that plays his love interest. Why isn't there anybody else big in that movie?
There's a cup.
Really? I can't.
Other.
Oh, like, no. I would say Rainey Wilson, who plays his daughter. I'm pretty sure that's her name, Rainey Wilson.
Right.
But like the only other movie I can think of her in is the freaking sequel.
I mean, you could do that.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to. I'm sorry. Rainey Wilson, Mall Cop 2.
And that's where I'm going to call you a son of a bitch. Because I have not seen the second one in years. So I cannot recall anyone else in that movie.
The only person that I can remember else name-wise is David Henry. And the only other movie I could think that he's in is Grown Ups 2. So
shit. Gosh, I don't, dude. I have, like, I know her from shows. What's her face? The one who played his daughter.
Yeah. Oh, should we like check that I did get her name right? Because I want to make sure that like I didn't just, I actually earned that point.
Rainey Wilson, you said her name is?
Yeah.
There. How would you spell that?
I have no idea.
Okay, Paul Blart, Mall Cop, cast. You got her first name right. It's Rainey Rodriguez.
God damn it. Okay. All right. Well then, okay. I do not get that point.
Damn, the person I
thought. What are you doing?
Oh, that there's some other people that I would have been able to
do freaking what's the sequel. I remember that Lauren Ash, who played Dina in Superstore, is at the end of that, but I can't think of movies she's actually in.
Yeah.
So damn it. All right. I did not earn that point. And yep. Time for a redo.
Yep. We will redo that one. Back to zeros. All right. My movie is Kate Blanchett, The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Okay. Let's go. Ooh, should I be a dick right off the bat?
I did falsely get a point, so I probably deserve it.
Let's go Carl Urban in Star Trek.
Oh, okay. I had to think.
Oh, wait. Is he in that one?
Yeah, Carl Urban is in Star Trek.
No. Is he in the Fellowship of the Ring?
Oh.
I know he's in the Lord of the Rings series. I don't know if he's in Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude, you got me.
God damn it. Will you look it up?
Yeah.
I don't want to cheat. Because if he's not, then I have a backup.
Okay. One second. Oh, God damn it. So it was the Fellowship, right?
Yes.
No, he was not.
Damn. Okay. I have a backup. Andy Serkis in... Let's go... Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I won ready for Rise and War. But not Don. God
Dude,
damn it.
I knew Rise. I'm like, he's going to go with, what's his face?
James Franco?
Oh, no. I thought you were going to go Tom Felton.
Oh. That would have been a good one, too.
Yeah. And then who would you have gone with in War?
Woody Harrelson.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Oh, I'm trying to remember what he has been. Okay, Toby Kebbell, who played Koba in Dawn. Fuck, what else has he been in?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Was he in Fanforestick?
You son of a bitch.
He was?
Yeah, he was.
Yes.
I think he was Dr. Doom.
Oh, yeah, he was.
God damn it. Okay. Let's go Miles Teller in... fuck. Whiplash.
Okay. J.K. Simmons. Give me a minute.
If you can't name a single movie that...
Oh, no, I can. Oh, but okay. I don't want to just be Spider-Man. Red One.
Okay. Lucy Liu in Kill Bill.
You suck. Never seen Kill Bill.
You haven't?
No. Yeah, man. You got me.
There's an easy one in that one. Like, do you not know who stars Kill Bill?
Is it Uma Thurman?
Yeah.
But I don't know what else she's been in.
You don't know what else Uma Thurman's been in?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll take the point.
Yeah, man, it's all yours, buddy.
But I am also surprised that you forgot that she is in Pulp Fiction.
Motherfucker. Son of a bitch.
All right. Yours is, have you ever seen Drive?
No, I've not.
Okay, let's redo. What the? I'm going to assume that you also haven't seen The Bourne Identity.
You would be right.
Okay, Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator.
Okay. Gerard Butler.
That is not Gerard Butler.
Oh, it's. Oh, sorry. Russell Crowe. I'm sorry. Isn't that?
Yeah, that's Russell.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to say Gerard Butler. Okay, so Russell Crowe, The Nice Guys.
Okay, Ryan Gosling, The Notebook.
It's like one of the only rom-coms I've never seen.
Dude, that is like my guilty pleasure movie. That's what I watch when I'm sick.
I believe the actress is Rachel McAdams.
Damn you.
Yes. All right, Rachel McAdams, Doctor Strange.
Okay. Benedict Cumberbatch. Actually, Benedict Wong, Weapons.
Okay. Good one. Josh Brolin. Deadpool 2.
Oh, yeah, he was in Deadpool 2. Mm-hmm. Shit. Okay. Ooh, I'll take a cheat. Brad Pitt, F1.
Javier Bardem. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Okay, Johnny Depp in The Lone Ranger.
I really hope she was in this. Helena Bonham Carter.
Ah, bitch.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
You son of a bitch. Oh, God. Oh, I know her name. Oh, God. I know her name, and I know what movie I'm going to do with her. Is it Anna Sophia Robb?
Yep.
Is that her name?
Yeah, that's
freaking
her name.
Freaking A. Bridge to Terabithia, biatch.
All right. Josh Hutcherson. Five Nights at Freddy's.
Matthew Lillard. Scream.
Okay.
Shit, what else has he been?
Ooh. Yeah, he was in the first one. Jamie Kennedy, Son of Mask.
Oh, you rat bastard. is it Alan Cummings?
Yeah.
Yes. In X2.
Okay. James Marsden. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay. Oh, dude. I would have killed you had you said Hop. That is like the only movie that I'm like, I don't know who else was in that.
I've never even seen Hop, so I don't
know. Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh. Man, yeah, that I was just, yeah, I was thinking through that. I'm like, okay, I think I know a decent amount of his filmography, but a Hop I would be screwed with. Okay, James Marsden and Sonic, let's go. All right, tell me if this counts. Space his name. Oh, what the hell? What is the matter with me?
Damn it, dude. Did you forget the actor that does the voice of Sonic?
I did. And I love the guy.
Yeah, dude, same here.
But I'm put on the spot and I completely spaced his name. It is Ben. God damn it. Let's go Jim Carrey the Grinch. What's his name?
Ben Schwartz.
Ah! God damn it.
Okay, so if you went with him, what were you going to go with? I'm curious.
I was going to see if I could get away with doing The Force Awakens, because he does the noises for BB-8.
Yeah, I would have given you that. I didn't know that.
It's him and like one other person. I forget who.
Okay.
Who does the noises for BB-8? Nope, that's BB-6.
Dude, I think you're going to get another point because I can't think of anybody else in the Grinch.
Bill Hader and Ben Schwartz were vocal consultants and modulated their voices to talk.
Oh, okay. BB-8. Cool. All right. But yeah, man, you get another point because I can't think of anybody else that's in the Grinch.
Damn, who knew that I could have gotten you way freaking earlier if I decided to go with Jim Carrey?
Yeah, dude, yeah. If you went that way with Ben Schwartz, The Force Awakens, oh yeah, I would have had a much easier time.
All right, next up is mine. This will be the third and final round of Reel to Reel. Then we'll move on to Head to Head. Ooh, Charlize Theron or Theron in Mad Max Fury Road.
You said that's yours, right?
Oh, that's mine. Okay.
I'm pretty sure you said that.
Let's go Tom Hardy in Venom.
Oh, fuck. What is the guy? Oh, the villain's name. Wait, since he was in the end credits, can I count an end cred scene? Does that still count?
Yeah.
Okay, Woody Harrelson. Now You See Me.
Bitch. All right. Let's go. Jesse Eisenberg, The Social Network.
Andrew Garfield, wasn't he in that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just because I can't think of anything else he's in. The Amazing Spider-Man.
All right, here's me being a bitch. Sally Fields, Smokey and the Bandit.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, man, dude. I'm not even going to try. I got nothing.
Man, dude.
That was good.
Wait, have you seen Smokey and the Bandit?
No, never seen it.
Do you know what the movie I'm talking about, though?
Yes, yeah, I know what movie you're talking about. But
okay, I'm surprised that you didn't remember Burt Reynolds.
Oh yeah, shit, he is in that.
Oh shit. All right.
For those keeping score at home, Caleb is kicking my ass.
Yeah, it is.
Three disease
zip. All right, man, this is the one that you usually kick my ass at. So this is head to head. So the difference with this one is it is a randomly generated category of movies. And we go back and forth. Basically listing off movies that fit a certain category. We do have the power to veto a movie if we don't feel it fits well enough within the category.
Yes.
All right. So you're starting this one off, and this one is movies where food plays an important role. And I here's know one exactly that what you're going to hit me with first.
Here's a movie that I'm sure a lot of people would like to forget. Let's go with Food Fight.
Not the movie I thought you were going to go for.
I think I know which one you were thinking. I was going to initially go with it, but then like I said food instead of were you going to? Well, wait, no, you might say that one, so never mind. I'm not going to say it.
Oh, I am going to say it. Sausage Party.
Perfect, yeah. I started saying food. I'm like, oh, wait, shit, yeah. I forgot about that movie. Like you said, I'm sure a lot of people would like to forget about that movie. Okay, so Sausage Party. Ratatouille.
Chef.
The Founder.
Ooh. That's a good one. Okay.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Oh, shit. I'm drawing a blank. Oh, my God. Did I only have Sausage Party and Chef on the hook?
There is one movie that I feel if neither of us... I mean, I've thought of it. But like, if you don't say it, I'll say it. But I feel if neither of us said it, millennials would be very mad at us for not remembering that this movie came out during our time.
I'm drawing a total blank, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah. What do you got?
Good Burger.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yep, I'm giving that one to you. Dude, oh man. When I'm put on the spot like that with like, I'm like, all right, I got like two in the barrel and I completely forget to like load it with more.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, damn. Okay. All right. Round two of head to head. This one is me. Movies where the plan immediately goes wrong. I'll say The Bad Guys.
That's a good one. Where the plan goes bad.
This one's tough because, I mean, this is like very open for interpretation.
Yeah, like if it's like, what if it's like the plan at the beginning of the movie and it doesn't really come back up because it only focuses on just like that one little part of the movie? Like, would that still count?
Like, what are you thinking?
I was thinking of like the opening of the live action Scooby-Doo when Velma keeps telling Fred, just remember the plan, like my plan. But of course, like everything just goes wrong. You know, Daphne gets kidnapped.
I think that one can count because yeah? I mean, their plan, like it's not I think it's more where a plan goes immediately wrong.
Okay. Okay. So then I will say Scooby-Doo.
Okay. This is a tough one because lot of these, like it's finding, like trying to find one where the plan goes wrong near the beginning.
Yeah.
Cause like, I can think of plenty where like, especially like when it comes to like superhero movies where the plan goes wrong later, like the biggest one I would think of is like Infinity War, but
that's true.
But that doesn't, it's like the plan doesn't immediately go wrong. It's like near the end.
Yeah.
So where does one go immediately wrong? Shit. You might have me on this one too.
This is like a difficult one.
It is. Cause I'm trying to even think of non-superhero related. Like yeah. I'm accessing like every category. Like, okay, I mean, this is if I were to bring it back and like be a bitch about it, I mean, I guess Chef would be like that too. Cause like he does a meal for a critic, and then like he gets like a bad review. And then he like gets in a Twitter like fight with him, invites him back, and then he's like forced to like remake the exact same meal. And the critic's just like, am I getting punked? So I mean, like that, and then that's like what breaks him off to like start his own food truck and whatnot. So I guess if you like that one could be,
I'd count that.
Okay.
Okay. I hope this counts. So at the beginning of Halloween Kills, as Lori's being like driven away with Karen and Allison, you see like the fire trucks like heading to her house. And so like clearly the plan was for that not to happen, that Michael was just going to burn inside the house to death.
Oh,
but then would you count that?
I'd count that.
Okay, cool.
Because that's like it is a continuation of the story. So, but it is like that, like a continuation of the plan. So I'd count that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Oh shit.
This one's hard.
This one is. It's very hard. You might have me on this one too.
I get dude. I was going out on a whim with that Halloween Kills one. I didn't know if you would count that.
No, that's a good one because it's like the that is like a very immediate plan goes wrong.
Yeah,
it is like it's a plan from the previous movie, but it's just like it's the continuation part that like that I think where it would fall into that category.
Okay,
interesting. All right, yours for round three of head to head is movies with an unforgettable car crash.
Okay. I mean, I think you could name a few. I mean, I already got one right off the bat.
I think I got a couple.
Okay. Cars 3.
Damn you. He took one of mine.
Dude, the fact that they showed that crash for the teaser the teaser trailer, like holy shit, that was insane.
Yeah. Let's go Fantastic Four with the thing jumping in front of the semi.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Does that count? Like, do we count that since it's like unless we're just talking car to car collisions?
I don't know. I feel like this could be like a open for interpretation.
Okay.
Kind of thing. So I'd count that.
Okay.
Because like I swear his car flipped many times. So Gran Turismo.
Ooh, that's a good one. Hell being a bitch about it. F1.
Yeah. Dude, that one is freaking like my mouth dropped. I'm like, oh my god.
My goodness, dude.
That was insane. And I just love that, you know, not to, you know, get into it already, but the fact that it was just completely silent. That just added to it. Okay. Where else has there been like a memorable car crash? I want to say he gets like the car gets into a crash in it. Herbie Fully Loaded. Does he get into a crash?
He does.
Okay.
He does. Huh. The part that's getting me is like the unforgettable part.
Yeah, because it's up for interpretation.
Yeah. Oh, freaking Final Destination.
Oh yeah, shit.
Which one is? It's not the first one. It's two or three.
Are you referring to the freeway
one? Yeah.
Two.
That's two. Okay. Yeah. Then two.
I mean, I'm curious if you would say that this is unforgettable. Power Rangers, when he crashes the truck.
Ooh, That's a good one.
Okay.
Yep, I'd count that.
Okay.
Shit. Son of a bitch, dude. Why is this so hard?
Like, for real.
There's one that I have in my mind, but I'm not sure it would count.
Let's hear it.
It'd be like the Avengers when Loki like blasts that one car, but it doesn't crash. It just like gets magicked to halt. Like it kind of like it lifts and slides, but I wouldn't say that's like a car crash because it gets magicked.
Yeah.
Like because like here's the difference. Like in my mind, with the thing, he body shots that like the semi.
Oh yeah,
like Loki just kind of blasts it out of the way, more or less. So it's like it's hard to like want to count that one.
I mean, but like I get why you would want to, because I mean it was memorable in showcasing like how he was going to be the big bad for the Avengers to fight. So like you did know that he meant business.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Inception.
Ooh, okay.
It's one of the ways that they like wake up, they have to crash the van into the water.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Halloween H2O. At the end when Lori crashes the van after Michael opens the body bag and starts to reach for her and inevitably locks himself into a tree. She cuts off his head, but it turns out it's not Michael. And yeah, so I would say that's a memorable car crash.
Okay. Iron Man 2
with Whiplash. Yeah, that's a good one. I don't think I got any more.
I know, I can't think of any either. Dude, like my mind's like, all right, what movies have cars in them?
Yeah, dude, like seriously, like, yeah, man, I'm spent.
Yeah. I can't think it. Like, I mean, Fast and the Furious, it's just like, okay, how many? Like, because the reason I didn't immediately go to like Fast and Furious is because it's like unforgettable, but I've forgotten all of them because it's like there's so freaking many.
Yeah, for real.
And then, like, the only other one that I can think of is like, I forget the name of the movie. It's one with Chris Hemsworth and what's his face that plays Zemo in Civil War.
I don't know his name.
Yeah, they're like racers. And yeah, so I think that one's like a Formula One, like racing too.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, if like that, I can't remember the name of that movie. But if you're spent, unless you got one more, because I would be absolutely screwed.
Okay, you know what? Actually, I think I do have one more. Now You See Me, when we thought that David Franco's character had died and we had lost a horseman.
Shit.
when on the bridge his car flipped.
You bastard. Yep, I'm giving that one to you.
All right. Oh shit, we got a tie here, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Tiebreaker, we will do a connect the stars.
Ooh, okay.
And let's see who can do it with the shortest.
Okay.
All right, let me see if I can share this screen. All right. So first, let me make it a little easier to see. All right. First up, we got Dakota Johnson.
Okay.
And Morgan Freeman. You think you could do that?
Sorry, give me a minute. I don't know if I can.
Okay, who's the one that's throwing you?
I don't. I kind of want to try, actually. No, I think I can.
You think you can?
Yeah, I think I can.
Okay. You got a piece of paper nearby?
I'm sure I do. Yeah. I think this should work. Yeah, I think I'm good.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's mute for a little bit until we figure it out.
Okay.
And then we'll just go off of what our own lists are.
Okay.
So this way we don't really like help each other.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
All right. And then just throw me a message in chat when you're ready. But I'll mute, you mute. All right. And go. Damn, yeah, are you really stumped?
Yeah, dude. I can't connect anymore. Yeah, man. I think you're gonna take this one.
All right, let's hear how far you got though.
Okay, so because it really all just came from Dakota Johnson's side. So I got Dakota Johnson, who was in Madam Web, with Sydney Sweeney, who was in I think it's called Just Go. Is it? Or no? Oh fuck. Shit. Yeah, I don't think I actually did have anything because I forget the movie that her and Glenn Powell are in. Is it What I Hate About You?
No, that is. I know which one you're talking about. I forget the name of it.
Is it I'm Just Not anyone, That Into You?
Anyone But You.
That's what it is. So yeah, okay, Anyone But You. And then I was going to do, so Glenn Powell was in that with her. And then I was going to do Top Gun Maverick.
Okay.
And that gave me Tom Cruise, but I couldn't think of how to tie Tom Cruise to Morgan Freeman. Just, yeah.
Damn, dude.
I know. So I'm excited to hear yours.
Okay. Mine was short. So she was in The Materialists with Chris Evans, who is in The Avengers with Mark Ruffalo, who is in Now You See Me with Morgan
Freeman. There you go. I thought of that movie, but I just couldn't remember the name. So nice, man.
But
good
now
job.
You see me?
No, The Materialist.
Oh. I was gonna say, I'm like, dude, like you brought up Now You See Me. I wouldn't have got like if you didn't mention Now You See Me earlier, I probably wouldn't have gotten this.
Oh.
Like I probably would have done something dumb and tried to like connect freaking Pedro Pascal to Morgan Freeman somehow. All right.
Nice.
Freaking A.
Very nice.
All right. Well, that brings us to a final total where I barely scraped this one by.
But he still did. Yeah. Caleb won.
Four to three. All right, that was a good one.
That was.
All right, well, with that, let's say we finally get into our breakdown.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah. Alrighty. If you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we will be scoring are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give our own personal score at the very end. All these numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. So without further ado, if you have not seen this movie, I'll say this. it ends like it, like a racing movie does.
Yeah, that's fair.
So not much to spoil, but if you still do not want this movie spoiled for you, I would either skip and come back, or however you want to handle this, because Rose is about to spoil it in our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose. So if you listen beyond this point and anything's spoiled for you, it's your own damn fault.
Yeah. All right. Aging former Formula One prodigy Sonny Hayes has spent the last 30 years living as a racer for hire following a career-ending crash at the 1993 Spanish Grand Prix that has left him burdened by the failure to live up to his potential. After winning the 24 Hours of Daytona, he is approached by his former teammate Ruben Cervantes, owner of the struggling APXGP F1 team, who asks him to be their second driver. Ruben explains that unless APXGP wins one of the 9 remaining Grand Prix of the season, his investors will sell the team. Sonny reluctantly agrees after Ruben insists that victory will prove he is the best in the world. Sonny meets the team, including technical director Kate McKenna and ambitious rookie Joshua Pierce. Joshua fears the failing APXGP could derail his career and aims to attract interest from another team. Sonny struggles with the modern F1 machinery, but quickly diagnoses APXGP's weaknesses, proposing that the vehicles be upgraded with enhanced aerodynamics to compensate for their speed disadvantage. At the British Grand Prix, Sonny and Joshua compete against each other rather than cooperating, resulting in both crashing out. Acknowledging the team's need to secure a points finish, Sonny exploits the rules at the Hungarian Grand Prix by deliberately colliding with rivals to trigger safety car periods. This allows Joshua to close the gap to the front runners and secure APXGP's first top 10 finish. During the rain-affected Italian Grand Prix, Sonny advises Joshua to remain on slick tires, trading grip for speed and elevating him to second place. However, he ignores Sonny's instruction to wait for a straight before overtaking Max Verstappen, skids off the track, and his car bursts into flames. Sonny rescues him, but Joshua is injured and misses the next 3 races. Joshua's mother and the press criticize Sonny's high-risk approach. He performs well during Joshua's absence using Kate's new vehicle upgrades. An increasingly arrogant Joshua returns at the Belgian Grand Prix and deliberately forces Sonny into a crash. Afterwards, Sonny criticizes him for foolishly setting the team back for personal glory. Seeking to ease tensions, Kate organizes a poker game to highlight their similar backgrounds, after which Sonny and Kate spend the night together. He later admits to her that he races to recapture the rare moments when he feels untouchable. Following an anonymous tip alleging Kate's car upgrades are illegal, APXGP is forced to remove them, leaving the team at a disadvantage. Frustrated and realizing he has skipped his ritual of having a random playing card with him in the cockpit, Sonny drives recklessly during the Las Vegas Grand Prix and crashes. While he recovers, Ruben discovers that Sonny's 1993 injuries left him medically unfit for F1, with risks of blindness or death, and fires him for his own safety. APXGP board member Peter Banning then admits to Sonny that he orchestrated both his signing and the anonymous tip to sabotage the team and force its sale, offering Sonny significant compensation to let APXGP fail. Meanwhile, Joshua begins applying Sonny's racing techniques, admits fault for his earlier crash, and recommits himself to the team. Concealing his blurred vision and headaches, Sonny persuades Ruben to let him return just as the FIA clears Kate and restores her upgrades. At the season-ending Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, Joshua battles Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc for the lead. After Sonny is caught in a minor crash, the race is red flagged, allowing APXGP to repair both cars before a 3-lap sprint to the finish. On the restart, Sonny overtakes Leclerc and sacrifices his own chance of victory by holding off Hamilton so Joshua can move into first. On the final lap, Hamilton and Joshua collide, clearing the way for Sonny to take his first F1 win and secure APXJP's future. Joshua is offered a seat with Mercedes, but declines. As the team celebrates, Sonny quietly prepares to leave, parting on good terms with Joshua and promising to see Kate soon. Sometime later, he lines up for the Baja 1000. When asked what he is racing for, Sonny laughs.
Hell yeah.
So, like Caleb said, stereotypical ending of a racing movie.
Very much so. I mean, listen, it's tough because it's like this movie is good, but it's got a lot of like not good elements to it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Explain.
All right, so just getting like starting off, like kicking it off with story. The story wasn't bad. Like I like the angle of like an older, like retired or just kind of like a washed out Formula One driver coming back to the thing, having to deal with new technology and a rookie. It's kind of like in this term, like kind of Cars 3-esque. Right,
yeah,
which is nice, it's super cool. Like it offers like a fun mentality because like, yeah, he's a little bit more reckless. What's his face, Pierce, is a little bit more like by the rules and everything, and so it like not really willing to take risks, and that's what makes him not be as good of a driver as he's capable of being.
Yeah.
And so him like basically adopting some different methods from the older guy, the more experienced, wise one, if you will, and taking his stuff into to the point where he knew, like he knew that he was like going to have the chance to win, but he sabotage that to give his mentor the win that he's always kind of been dreaming of, right?
Yeah.
And in that sense, I feel like it's a very stereotypical story. Like we said, this one's hard to spoil because it ends like how a racing movie you would imagine it would.
Yeah.
Like with the main guy getting his win, getting the girl and going on his merry way.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think this is like, it was a well executed story, but I don't think it even cracked like the 80s for me in just terms of it's a stereotypical racing movie. So it's like, it's hard for me to be like, oh wow, this was really good. I think my personal enjoyment of it, like setting that aside, it just follows everything, like all the stereotypes. Sure, so like it was well executed. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. That's what sucks about it. Cause yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Like it's stereotypical. It like goes beat for beat for what you think it's going to go for, but like it's done so well that it's like hard to be like super harsh towards it.
Yeah. So I'm personally giving this a 78. Like I don't think
that's fair. Okay.
Ironically enough, a movie that was more about like needing to take risks didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I think I am just going to be like slightly above you at an 80 because I do think it cracks an 80 for me because I absolutely agree with Caleb. Like it really does like go B for B with what you think it's going to be. Like even freaking when when Joshua like crashes, like, yeah, like it's, you're just like, oh shit. And like the scene is like very well played out where like there's no audio whatsoever. And just like, it's, you know, really, really good scene. But like, you're really not surprised by it. Cause like once like, Sonny tells him, tell JP, don't like go yet. You're just like, oh, okay. Yeah. We already know what's coming. Like,
yeah,
he's like, going to crash.
You knew it's just like, nope, he's still too hard headed. Even yep. though he like, this man has done nothing but help you win or get higher and higher placed. Like you are still like, you're still not going to listen to him because yeah. you're some young gun. And like every stereotype, it hits. It's just like,
because it's kind of like the same. It's like even in like with Gran Turismo, when the main kid is like not listening to what David Harbour's character is saying, even though like it's kind of like the same situation. I mean, you know, I know it's different because the kid, it's his first time actually racing a real car. He's just good at the game, but kind of the same thing, you know. David Harbour's character has been behind the wheel. He knows what he's talking about, but you know, the kid wants to be the hot shot and be like, oh, I know exactly what I'm doing, even though this is completely different than a freaking game controller.
Yeah,
but kind of really the same thing.
Yeah, so like I think Gran Turismo did the story a little bit better.
That's fair.
Yeah, but I mean, this one, like I said, this one's not bad. It's just it needed to take a little bit more risk.
Yeah,
like it said, every stereotype was hit. Like, oh, the young gun and the old wise elder aren't getting along, and then they're suddenly best friends by the end of the movie. Yeah. Like you hit that one on the head. Oh, the main guy who's never won this type of race before is going to win first place. Yep, you covered that one. Like, it's just,
And like, it's sometimes hard to like critique it on being so stereotypical because most of the time these are based off true stories. Like Gran Turismo was, I'm pretty sure this one was too.
I don't know if it was.
Oh. I thought it was.
Is F1 based on a true story? No.
Oh, it's not. Oh, so that makes it even worse.
Yeah, it's not based on one specific true story, but it heavily borrows from real life Formula One history.
Okay. Okay, so if it's borrowing from history, like you, if it's like not a specific, okay, yeah, if it's not a specific story, like, then...
Even then that feels like a cop-out thing to say. Like, because it's just like, of course. Like, of course the new guy is going to be freaking bitchy towards the more experienced driver. That's just... Like, there's a reason this is a stereotype.
Shit, you know what, man? Yeah, I can't even justify an 80. I'm going to 79. I can't even be in the 80s now that we've discussed it more. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, the story is definitely not where this movie shines.
No, there's a very obvious silly category that this movie will shine in.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's not either of these first two. Because writing... I'll say this, it's enough to get it a 79, not quite. I can't quite give it an 80 on this either. There's so much freaking cheesy bullshit in this one, like that the freaking, like what you were just explaining with the synopsis, like at the end when he's just like, oh, like when he goes to that like dune racer thing and he's just like, we can't pay you a lot. And he's like, it's not about the money. And he's like, well, what's it about then? And just the way that he sits there in silence for a little bit and laughs.
Yeah.
I'm like, could you imagine being on the receiving end of that? Where it's just like some guy just like you say something to this guy, which is already freaking cheesy as shit. And then he just looks down and goes ha, 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 for longer than a few seconds.
Yeah,
I'm just like, are you having a stroke? Maybe you shouldn't be driving.
Dude, even the line that when Sonny and Joshua part ways, when Sonny's just like, it's your team now, and Joshua's just like, it was always my team. Dude, I'm like,
how freaking
shut the hell up,
dude. it was so ridiculously cheesy.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding? And there was so much of that.
Yeah, like, dude, I'm going to even be so lower than you on writing. I'm going to go 78.
I know. I might have talked myself down, honestly.
Actually, you know what? No, 77. Yeah.
77. That's what I was going to. I was like, oh, God. There was so much of that. Like, here's another thing that got me. They couldn't have been freaking jerking Brad Pitt off harder if they tried, because anytime like someone saw him, they're just like, wow, that is a good looking dude. And they did that with so basically any woman that saw him, made a comment about
even Joshua's mom.
I know. I was like, are you actually fucking kidding me?
Dude, honestly, like the picture that they picked, because, you know, like when she walks in and she sees like the two like blown up pictures of Joshua and Sonny, you know, I can't remember. Was Joshua smiling or did he have a straight face?
I think he was smiling. And dude, okay, that picture of Brad Pitt, I'm like, that's not even Brad Pitt's best picture.
No, dude, dude, it looked like he was giving kind of like a smolder kind of look.
He looked awkward.
He did. Honestly, yeah, like straight up. I'm just like, out of all the pictures you pick,
I know,
you pick that one.
It looked like someone just went, aha, and then he's like,
he just gives a, like, what the fuck is this kind of look.
Yeah, and then, like, they, like, it looked like a surprise picture.
Yeah, but, of course, Joshua's mom's just like, oh, my God. Like, reminds me of that audio that I think I heard on TikTok one time where they're just like, oh, my God, oh, my God. That's literally how...
Yeah, like I said, they
but it's really just the like, oh my God,
harder if they tried.
Yeah, no, like seriously, because like of course, like even with like the I feel bad that I forgot her name because like she was one of like my favorites.
Oh my God. Dude, she was like that too. I was like, okay, good, one person who doesn't see through his bullshit.
Yeah,
but yeah, even her when she like would longingly gaze at him, I'm just like, come on,
yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? And then it just like it cheapened the character when she actually like slept with him.
I will say I did find it a little funny when Javier Bardem's character comes to the hotel and he's just like, where is he? She's just like, I can't believe that you would think that I would stoop that low. I would never sleep with my and he's just like, really? He's like, oh yeah. She's like, oh yeah, he's on the balcony.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was actually, yeah, but it did genuinely like, funny.
The way that she was like going on and on about like, oh, I don't fool around with people on my team and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, we all know that where this is going. Shut up and just get to it.
Yeah.
And if when it finally did, it's just like, thank goodness. Like, come on.
Even like when they're like saying goodbye and you know, like they kiss and she's just like, hold on to that. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, dude. USA freaking cheesy shit. You know what? That line alone, the hold on to that gets it a 76.
All right, I won't get that low. But fair. Absolutely fair.
I will say I pushed that far out of my brain. Yeah, the writing left much to be desired.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like,
oh, shit.
Sorry, writers. I know you probably tried, and I know that the efforts were put elsewhere for this movie, but
like honestly, I've seen less cheesy writing in a horror movie than in this movie.
Yeah,
and that's saying a lot.
And all to freaking stroke Brad Pitt's ego.
Yeah. I get it. Brad Pitt's a good actor, he's a good looking guy, but like how many times are you gonna suck him off? Like, damn,
like one of his top, I wouldn't even say this cracks his top 10 good-looking roles.
I mean, yeah, honestly, like I think like for me, like the most like good-looking Brad Pitt has ever looked was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like as Cliff, like he was a damn good-looking guy.
Yeah, I let me see. Like let me see. There's a specific movie I'm thinking of his. And I'm just like, oh, hello. let's see. And you know what? I think he's
always look better with short hair.
I can agree with that, except for in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because like it actually, he looks, like I said,
that really one I still consider that short. One. That one I still consider short.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it's listen, it's walking a line. Yeah. But yeah, it is.
All right.
I don't know what exactly it is I'm looking for, but he yeah, not his best.
It's like, what's the movie that I, when I saw Brad Pitt, I immediately was just like, mm.
Oh, if we're going with that, I'll probably. Oh, which there's a certain role. I'm trying to think of which one it was. Because it wasn't.
Be honest, Caleb. It was Vanisher, wasn't it?
Oh, it wasn't. Yeah. No. No, I think it was Fury.
Okay. That, yeah, I can definitely give you that.
Yeah, Fury and Benjamin Button, like those are both movies where he was just like, oh, get like, god damn. Yeah, like obviously, damn. Like once he's past like the awkward like old man phase.
Yeah, not fair.
Yeah, like once he gets to the point where he's like younger, and him and Kate Blanchett are like the same age, like that's like. Peak.
Dude.
Anyway, I'm done fangirling over Brad Pitt.
Oh shit!
All right, but I mean, getting back on him for a minute, getting into this acting category. First up, we got Brad Pitt playing Sonny Hayes. Then we got Damson Idris, who plays Joshua Pierce. Total side note, I have heard that he's in talks to be our next Black Panther, and I'm here for it.
Oh, dude, same. He's a great actor.
Yeah, amazing. Javier Bardem plays Ruben Cervantes. We got Carrie Carrie Condon plays Kate McKenna.
Dude, I straight up typed out an M first on accident.
Listen, I don't know if I've ever brought this up before, but there is something about a woman with an Irish accent that just does something for
dude,
me.
She was so fucking hot in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn.
Yeah. I was like, oh, new crush.
Dude, same here.
All right. Next up, we got Tobias Menzies, who plays Peter Banning. We got Kim Bodnia, who plays Casper Smolinski. And we got Sarah Niles, who plays Bernadette Pierce. I know her from Ted Lasso.
Oh, cool.
And I love her. She's an amazing actress.
Just from this movie, I could tell that she is a great actress because she freaking killed it in this role.
Hell yeah.
Because I definitely believe that she was going to do something to Sonny if something else bad happened to Joshua.
Oh, for
I believed
real.
It.
Real. All right, what's your top three look like?
You know, it's not his best performance, but like I'd still give number one to Brad Pitt. I still think he did a really good job in this movie. And yeah, really that's all I have to say with him. Just he did do a good job. I did really like his performance in this.
I'll say this, he played the character he was supposed to. But in terms of standout, I'm giving my number one to Damson Idris.
That's completely fair. He's number two for me. because he was great. And I loved their confrontations that they had. And even when they actually like understood each other, especially like after that poker game, those were parts that like definitely stood out, but their whole saying goodbye, I thought that scene was stupid.
So dumb, dude. So freaking dumb. I'm like, there's no amount of acting in the world that could have saved them from that.
Yeah.
Horrible script.
Yeah. That was just such a stupid way for them to say goodbye to each other.
Yeah. So he's my number one. I'm giving my number two to Brad Pitt for all the reasons that we've discussed.
Yeah. Number three, I would give to, I already forgot her name. I feel bad. Carrie Condon. And it's not because me and Caleb both found a love for Irish accents and we both think she's really very, I'm just going to say really,
it is
really
for hot. Me. that is 100% why, but no, she's like, listen, other than the times or the scenes where she's simping for Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Loved her. Like, she's such a strong character.
Yeah, no, like, she, like the moment that she, when she confronts Brad Pitt for the first time, like in that bar that he asked her to come to, and she's just like, yeah, like, you know, you may be able to like fool other people, but you're not fooling me. I'm just like, damn, not only are you hot, but like, you are really, you're a really yeah, good actress.
You are self-aware too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are the whole goddamn package.
Dude, for real. But yeah, so like, yeah, Carrie Condon, I definitely want to check out more from her because, yeah, really, really solid actress. She did really good in this role.
Yeah.
And it also helps that, like Caleb and I have said many times, she's hot. She's a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm. And her accent, dude.
Man. Ooh, yeah. Let's hope Brielle doesn't listen to this episode.
With my luck, this would be the one that she would.
Oh shit.
No, I've told her, I'm like, listen, if an Irish girl ever gave me a shot, I'm not saying I would, but I'm not saying I wouldn't either. Which is fine. Shit. Which is totally fine. Like, we have that agreement. Like, I have a thing for Irish girls. She has a thing for Scottish men. Like,
all right, there we go. As long as you guys have an agreement.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay.
Like, I say, like, we travel, like we'll travel to Scotland, we'll take our leave for a few days, like just kind of separate, whatever happens and we come back together, enjoy the rest of our trip.
Perfect.
No questions asked.
I love it. See, this is how you know you're in a proper marriage.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like to think.
honestly, jokes aside, like, honestly, like, if you can joke about this kind of stuff, if you can like see where you both are coming from, like, no, like, truly, like, this is what a marriage should be.
Yeah, straight up, dude. You know how frequently like I've sat and like watched Outlander with her, which is basically just so, the sole purpose of this movie is about this woman who gets sucked back in time to meet her, like, her Scottish prince or whatever. And I'm like, we already have our part of our trip planned in Scotland when we eventually go. There is a rock seeing, like a sightseeing, because there's a bunch of like weird stone structures in Scotland. We're already going to a few, and she's like, I am going to be touching all of them. Like, just to see. And I'm like, listen, I'm not mad about it. Like, have fun.
That is amazing.
Like, you do you, boo. Oh. just know the second you even kind of disappear, my ass is heading over to Ireland and picking me up my next wife. And she's like, shit. I'm like, sick.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the acting score and stopping our little simp session.
Oh, man.
I like the cast.
Yeah, the cast was solid. 100%. Yeah.
I'm at like an 85 when it comes to acting. Like, I think everyone did. Man, that seems high. I'm going to 83. I think everyone did a really good job. But, and here's the reason I docked it. I think the performances alone were 86 worthy. Or, what did I say, 86?
85.
Yeah, were 85 worthy. But it's the acting that was around the shitty script that ruined it. Because, like I said, no one can act their way out of a bad script. I don't care how good you are.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I was initially going to go an 86, but nah, I'm going an 84. Because, yeah, I can't disagree with you on the whole. You can act your heart out, but if it's a shitty script, it's a shitty script.
Yeah. All right, next up we got character development, which did he do any real growth? I would argue that he didn't.
It kind of just ended where he started, but now he's a winner.
Yeah, he's honestly, like,
he's still the same person. He didn't, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's still like kind of a washed up F1 racer in his van.
Yeah.
And like, I will give some points for his relationship with Joshua.
Yeah,
because I felt like there was a lot of decent growth there.
I did appreciate that, like, in certain races, like, he was doing whatever he had to stay towards the back of the group and stop people from getting ahead to him, like, doing whatever he needed to just so Joshua could get as much ahead as he could. So I guess, like, good on him for taking one for the team with that.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the point. Like, he knew, like, this guy isn't going to try and play dirty. So he needs to show him how effective playing dirty can be.
Yeah.
And yeah, by playing dirty, it got him into higher and higher positions. And then they were able to kind of, like, slowly work their way up the placement.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And then once they were working it together, they were freaking unstoppable.
Yeah.
So I think the character development's worthy of like 75. Like, it was good. It was executed okay, but it wasn't anything to, like, write home about.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to match you on that one.
All right, moving on to where this movie absolutely shined.
Oh,
the
dude.
Effects. Holy shit.
Dude, I thought the racing scenes in Gran Turismo were cool. These, I feel, blew those out of the water.
Next freaking level.
I kick myself for not seeing this in theaters.
Dude, for real.
Like, I would have loved to have seen this in XD, IMAX, on the biggest screen. Because, when they're on the track, that shit would have felt like a freaking ride.
Oh, yeah. Like, in IMAX, dude, that would have rocked your world. Like,
I wonder how, because I don't know how it is out there. But are they really pushing, like, D-Box out there? You know, like, motion seats and everything like that?
Not that I've seen.
Because Cinemark has really started to. Because, like, it seems like almost every movie now they're offering in D-Box. Because it's I think the first two rows is dedicated to D-Box. And so it's like, wait, what?
I said, that's interesting. That like,
yeah. So like, I think like it's, you know, like the seat vibrates and, you know, stuff like that. So like, you know, like some movies, you know, like it makes sense. Cause like this movie would have been awesome to see in D-Box, but then you get like, they're putting like kids movies in D-Box. Like me and Sammy went and saw Zootopia 2. And like they had only like 4 showings for just regular standard showings. But then freaking like it was like 10 showings for D-Box. I'm like, who feels the need to see Zootopia 2 in D-Box?
That's crazy.
Right.
And how much more expensive are the D-Box?
Like $5 more?
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I think a D-Box ticket is 15.
Gross.
Yeah, for real.
Good hell. Absolutely, yeah. The hell not.
Yeah, right? Yeah, freaking, I went on because me and my buddy Ryan, we were going to, I mean, I think we're going to see it this week, Anaconda. And I was seeing... Because I think we were initially going to go like in between holidays, but that just didn't end up working out. So when they first like put tickets on sale for that, it had been a while since I'd gone on the Cinemark app, because it'd been a while since I'd been to the movies at that point. Up until that point, I think the last movie that I'd seen was Wicked for Good. And so when I went to go look at the showings for Anaconda, I'm like, D-Box, what the fuck is that? Like, when did they freaking incorporate that into like every single Cinemark movie theater? And so like, you know, I saw that they were having that for Anaconda. I'm like, oh, okay, like I guess that makes sense. But then like when, like I said, when I went to go buy tickets for Zootopia 2, it was for that as well. Like it seems like they're having D-Box for every movie. It doesn't matter what it is, and that just doesn't seem right. Like, I'm sorry, I don't need a vibrating moving seat for Zootopia 2. Like,
listen, there's a level of immersion that's too much.
Yeah.
And I draw the line at vibrating seats. Like, I want to see the movies in the best picture. I want the best sound quality, but I do not need to feel the movie.
Yeah. And there's like, because like I know like people, because I think like, you know, like it vibrates, it moves around, I think, a little bit. And so like, I've seen like people, I don't know if it's D-Box, it might be like another form of like, they're like trying to eat their snacks, but like they're like going to, they like saw Twisters and like the freaking seat is like throwing them around. I'm like, yeah, I mean, sure, I bet that adds to the movie, but like, yeah, if you like bought concessions, I'm sure that sucked ass.
Yeah, probably
just your popcorn just going all over the place. I'm like, well, there goes my freaking $10 worth of popcorn. That's awesome.
Freaking ridiculous, dude. So I went to go see Zootopia 2 with Iris. What a freaking joke of an experience. So we decided to go on a discount Tuesday, and I forgot that it was winter break. Ooh. So we got there, we had to pick up concessions because Iris needed them, but our tickets were also like, I had to do like a return because some people were supposed to come with us that didn't. So I had to do a return. So I had to go to the freaking counter. We were 25 minutes late for the freaking movie. So we missed 15 minutes of the freaking movie.
Shit, dude.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. Absolute freaking joke. And dude, like what they were doing was so dumb. Like, so the way that they were handling it was literally like freaking, like one person would be working like a register, and then there'd be like one person that would just kind of be standing around like doing like dealing out the popcorn and everything, and then it's like, and then doing drinks, and then there was like one other person that would like help one person and then just kind of disappear for like 5 minutes, and then they come back help another person, then disappear for another like 5 freaking minutes. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Seriously. Damn. Yeah. Did you at least like the movie?
Yeah, the movie was all right. I mean, yeah. What I saw of it, I felt like I was missing like a key component.
That sucks. Cause yeah, freaking like, I mean, personally, I thought Zootopia 2 was just as good as the first one. I thought it was such a good sequel. Feel it's
what I saw
definitely
of
one
it,
that we like, should review.
I had to fill in like a lot of the context clues because by the time, ass. Yeah, so by the time we got out, or by the time we got into the movie and sat down, they were at the scene where Judy had gone to Nick's apartment after.
Shit, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you missed all the shit ton.
Yeah, so there was like a lot that I was just like, okay, wait, who the hell are these people? Like, what the hell's happening here?
Who are the Z-Bros?
Yeah, who are the Z-Bros? Yeah, so spoiler alert, if you missed the first 15 minutes of the movie, they're not as funny as I think they could be.
Once you watch the beginning, you'll find them more enjoyable.
Yeah, so I need to go see that again, or just wait for it to come on digital. But yeah, like I'm like, I know I missed something, and that kind of like spoiled the movie for me.
That sucks, man.
Because I hate, dude, there's nothing I hate more than starting a movie in the middle.
Oh, dude, same here. Yeah, I hate that shit.
Yeah, like if Brielle invites me to watch a movie with her and she's already halfway through it, I'm like, no, this is what I wanted to see, but I'm like, I'm going to go sit in the other room like and start it over.
Yeah.
Like can't do it. I cannot freaking do it.
Nah, dude, same here.
Anyway, getting back into F1's effects. Yeah. And how amazing, I assume that they were to see in IMAX and everything.
Yeah, I'm sure shit was jaw dropping.
Yeah, this was next level, dude. Like,
yeah.
And I did some like a little bit of research in how they shot a lot of this stuff. Like, they wanted to minimize any CGI like whatsoever.
Wow.
So a lot of this was practical. And a lot of the footage from the Grand Prix is live footage from an actual race.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool as hell.
Right? Because they're like, okay, well, how do we get all of this footage? Like, how do we get like the people in the stands and everything? And then they went and like saw a race. And they like looked at all of like the equipment that they're using, and they're like, oh wait, these are all like movie quality like cameras. Like, what if we just take the footage?
There
and so
you
that's
go.
Exactly what they did. Like, they just took the footage and like did that, like what they're compositing and everything, like made it look a little bit more like movie ready, but
yeah. And if I never knew that, I never would have thought that.
Yeah, it was a stunning movie, absolutely stunning. And then the stunt work, next level. Because I mean,
oh yeah,
Brad Pitt actually like was in one of those racers.
That is awesome.
The only, obviously, like we couldn't see it, but he obviously wasn't the one driving. So what they did is they built like an extended cab. So there was an actual F1 driver in the front seat and Brad Pitt was sitting in the back.
Oh, okay.
And I think the camera was like on his head, like the driver's head, or like near his head. And so it would just like turn, like they basically pimped out a Formula One car with cameras.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and we're able to like mess with like the shots and everything like mid-race.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's super sick. Like, I love hearing shit about that. Like, when studios try to minimize their reliance on CGI, nothing beats it.
Yep. Agreed.
And this is one of those instances, like, you felt like you were right there, like, in the race.
It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, even watching it on something, like, I was watching it on my computer screen. Like, that's, and it was still freaking, like, incredible to watch.
Yeah.
So that's just a testament to how good everything was shot.
You know, it's really crazy, and I didn't think about this like till halfway through watching this. This was the first movie that the first 4K movie, that 4K disc movie that I've watched on my PlayStation 5. I really? For some reason I've only watched Blu-ray movies on my PS5. This is the first 4K, and I noticed the difference. Like, holy shit. It was beautiful.
Do you have a 4K TV?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a 4K 50-inch. Or 55-inch, actually.
55?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about what we have, too. Well, I don't have 4K or anything, just because kids.
Fair.
But I do want to upgrade to something that is capable of watching like stuff like that.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it, because, yeah, like, beautiful.
Yeah. Gosh, I want to get my projector and everything to like be on, like, in that. I want it to be like the highest level quality I can possibly get it.
Yeah.
So like that, because I love being able to watch things on a big screen. So like the projector's really nice. The computers are okay. My TV's getting up there in age.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I'm holding off trying to like upgrade that. But when I do, I want this to last at least until my kids stop touching the TV.
That is fair.
Which,
yeah,
Iris is at that age. She no longer touches the TV. But Levi, like, I need him to stop touching the TV. Little maniac. Anyway, this is like high 90s in terms of effects for me.
Dude, I'm a 96 personally. Like, shit,
I'm
is
at
that,
98.
Dude. Hell yeah, dude.
Like, these effects were damn near flawless.
Yeah, amazing.
I mean, hell, even the crash, dude. Like, that looked real as shit.
Yeah, dude. Oh my god. Just, yeah, amazing.
All right, moving on over to music. This soundtrack wasn't bad. I wouldn't say it was great by any means, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really stuck out, but yeah, I agree with you.
Which is crazy, because they did, like, they threw in Queen. Like, they had good heavy hit songs, but I don't think they utilized them to their fullest potential.
I agree.
Like, I'll say this. The scene where they did have the Queen, like, I think they were playing We Will Rock You. That, it felt out of place.
Yeah, a little bit. I honestly didn't even notice that they played that.
That's crazy. Yeah, so, I mean, giving it, like, perks where are needed, because, I mean, the songs that they used weren't bad. Like, I be it maybe a 7.
Yeah, give me that.
All right, and then next up we got costumes, which I might be on the same
level. 7.
Yeah,
I think I am.
They're
too.
Okay, but
just like classic racing suits, like nothing huge.
Yeah, like they're just. I think they could have gotten a little crazier with the designs, but the designs were very simple.
Yeah.
But I mean, they looked good. The helmets were good. And everyone else was just wearing like stereotypical like clothes.
Yeah.
So I think a 7 is appropriate.
I would agree.
All right. Last up, we got our own personal score. So let's hear what you think first.
Okay. Overall, I thought this was a pretty good movie. You know, the story and the writing are definitely, what makes this movie come down. But still, overall, it's a good one. I still had a good time from start to finish. Really not much else to say about that. I don't know if I'll be revisiting it that much. Because it is a long movie. It is 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I was starting to feel it.
Same here. But overall, I still did have a good time. So personal score, I'm going to be at an 82.
Yeah, I'm right around there with you. Like I'm personally sitting at like an 83. Like I thought it was good. And yeah. It's just racing movies don't do it for me.
No, dude, honestly, same.
But this is one of the better racing movies I have seen. It's just when you get down to it, the story and the writing, like, kind of, it's what makes it. It's just, it's you watch this movie for what they were able to visually do. Yes. I wouldn't like not for what they wrote, not for how it was acted or anything like that. It's just, it's a stereotypical racing movie that has really cool cinematography.
Yeah.
So yeah, with that, I'm giving it an 83.
Hell yeah.
All right. Going through these categories real quick, starting off with story. We ended up averaging out to a 78.5. Writing took a little bit of a dip, sitting at a 76.5. And I believe, oh, no, not yet. Our acting had a little bit of a bump, sitting at an 83.5. Character development is our lowest category, sitting at a 75. Our highest category is effects, sitting at a 97. Music is sitting at a 7 out of 10. Costumes are sitting at a 7 out of 10. And our personal score ended up averaging out to an 82.5. So right. With that, the final All Bros letter grade for F1 has come out to a B minus.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. Surprising.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. And it's pretty in the middle one.
I like it.
Yeah, so this is sitting at an 81.625%, which puts it on the exact same level as Migration.
Okay.
Which I would agree with pretty heavy.
Yeah, honestly, I would too.
Let's see, going what it's above first. It is above Despicable Me 4.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is above The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
All right.
It is above Peter Pan and Wendy, for sure. That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's above Love Hurts.
Okay.
And then it is above the Banana Splits movie.
Okay.
Going the opposite direction, it is below The Matrix Reloaded.
Okay.
Below Birds of Prey and okay. The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. It's below The Bad Guys.
Okay.
And then it's below Alien 1979.
Okay.
I don't totally disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. Yeah. Solid home for it.
Yeah, definitely a solid home. So yeah, with that wraps up this week's breakdown. So if you enjoyed this episode, want to hear more of our stuff, be sure to follow and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are damn near everywhere. Let's see, next week, any ideas?
Not really.
We could try. You did say Wicked for Good earlier.
I mean, we could do that. I mean, there's also that Channing Tatum movie that had him living in a Toys R Us. I don't know if you saw a preview.
Yeah,
that's on Paramount Plus now.
Okay, I'm down.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Hell yeah. What's that one called?
That's an excellent question. Let me see.
Yeah, while you look that up, I will say we are on all social media. We are on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, wherever you want to, you can look us up. Same with YouTube. You just got to search at the All Bros. Links to everything will be in our episode description if you guys want to check us out. So yeah, next week we will be breaking down
Roofman.
I knew it was a weird freaking title like that.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to check that out before next week, so Reading with Rose doesn't spoil the whole movie for you. Yeah, like Rose said, it's on Paramount Plus, so go check it out.
Yeah.
But until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we'll catch you guys next week. Deuces.
See ya.